Before Alice, an audio play written and directed by Stacey Bates. An Artful Scribe production, commissioned and produced with support from Arts Council England and Mayflower Studios. The following audio drama contains themes of loss and war, with mentions of PTSD and trauma.
Alice, put the cactus on the counter first. Then open the blinds, rather than trying to open the blinds with a bloody cactus in your hands. Gosh, it's early. I've always loved this time in the morning since I was a child. Do you remember? I couldn't help but get up early, just like you. We were closer then, hung on your every word. Look at the sky. Such a deep, elusive blue. The blue hour. That's what it's called. The hour before the world wakes. Yesterday has gone, but today has not wholly started. There's almost a magical quality to this time, you know? The early morning dew, the blue mist, a half-dark, enchanted, dreamlike secret hour belonging to just me, because it is just me who has slipped down into the gap between the before and the after. Funny that I am calmest now in the silence, don't you think? You'd think it may be too quiet. But I love it. Always have. I come down here first thing and I pinch myself. This is mine. My shop. My place. In this shadowy world, I am like a fairy tale character. Snow White in the forest. Mary in her secret garden. Tom at midnight. There is a kingdom within these walls, and this little shop is full of promise. What do you think of your new home, eh, Dad? Remember when you gave me the Night Blooming Sirius? It was about 8 years ago, and I was just starting out. And now, your pride of place on my counter. Not too bad, eh? Oh. Well, that's no good. You're all at the wrong angle. I can't see your cactus leaves. Now, I know some people think cacti don't have leaves, but they're very wrong, huh? You, unlike some, are spine and spike-free, but have thick, broad leaves that grow vines and shoots. Not the most pretty to look at, perhaps, but there is more to you than you first expect. Gosh. I will never get tired of inhaling that slightly spicy, musky floral undertone. You gave me the Sirius in a terracotta pot. I hope you don't mind, I've repotted you, but I thought you should have something new, something special for the shop opening. I'm so pleased with this dark emerald pot I put you in. The colour will really show off the blooms. It's getting a little warmer, not long now. Oh, should we have a blooming party? Who am I kidding? Who would I invite? Mum and Elias, I suppose. There is Cheryl from my old job at the lab. She's moved here too, but no, I don't think I could face her. I've moved on. I'm trying to move on. But it's taken 7 years for you to bloom. No longer an ugly duckling. It's a big moment, Dad. No, it would bring everything back up and Cheryl would look at me and remember. She might pity me. Mum would be embarrassed and say things like, too much, too soon. And Elliot would feel trapped and I might not cope with that situation. Things could go from bad to worse. Then there would be their panic, my humiliation, my guilt and my hands trembling, pins and needles in my fingers, my toes, my throat constricting, my shoulders tight, taut, eyes blinking, aching, sweat under my arms, neck, breathe. Breathe, you're here. In the blue hour. In the blue hour, which is yours and yours alone. That's it. That's good. Maybe no party. I'll think about it. I don't know. It's nice to remember you. Connect you with something so happy. You were gardening and you'd started giving talks, do you remember? I was so proud of you. We were in such a good place when you gave me this plant. The cereus was a lovely gift for my graduation. A great way to mark my start into the world of botany. I kept it on my desk. Thank God I managed to grab it before I left. At least now I can talk to the cactus. To you. Otherwise, well, it would just be me, and I don't think, you know, that is that healthy. Focus, Alice. I must focus. Talking to the cactus as if he's my dad again. I should keep busy. A cup of tea. I'll get it back.
The blue hour has ended. The stealth-like sun extends its hand across the incline of the high street, creeping its way up over the curb, sneaking along the pavements, until it faces the facade of Alice's shop window, entering like an unexpected guest into Alice's secret world. A long, wide finger of light pierces through this haven. Dust motes appear like fairy dust, as it expands onto the counter's surface where I sit. It bathes me in fractured light, and I suck it in, deep to the core. I relax, inwardly smile. I wait for Alice while she makes the tea. I like it here on the shop counter, where I can sit full of pride, where son and daughter made the surface. Alice and Elliot's friendly bickering brought a tear to my eye. If only such a thing were possible. Normally, I live upstairs in Alice's homely little flat, so full of pattern and colour, and of course plants, any number of plants. I sat in my place on the windowsill. On one side, I could look down on the mismatched array of shops, pubs and houses. Georgian relics, pictured, postcard, pretty. The town is made up of two rows of buildings. Their outline has an uneven up and down jaggedness to them, like piano keys waiting to be played. The cobbled path bookends a long street with a steady incline. On my other side, I watch Alice, a weather eye. Better I'm here now with her on the counter. I must not be nervous. I must will away any anxiety. I can feel the other plants around me. We wait for water, attention. We feel something new in the air. We raise our leaves just a little with the expectation. Today is the day before a special day.
That's better, eh, Dad? Mustn't get too distracted. Now, time to try and order some plant stands. I feel I need more of the plants that are very devil, you know, to draw the eye. No, thank you. I do not want bloody car insurance. Right, let's get to it. Oh, my God. Why do so many people put so much crap on eBay? Although, that's very nice. Oh, and it's a green one. Metoc. Where the hell is Metoc? I've never heard of it. Have you? Well, that's quite a nice stand. Looks kind of Grecian. Light stone, but maybe I could paint it. Could I? Well, it looks a bit big. The measurements are in inches. What does that mean? How am I supposed to know what inches mean? If you put it in inches, I'm not dealing with you. Pick up only. Yeah, well, that's not going to work, is it? Right. Your soil feels feather soft. Time to water, eh, Dad? We'll start with you first. So, I noticed all of your water's gone at last. Let's top you up, and then you won't need it again, will you, for a while? Surprisingly hardy for a plant that blooms so spectacularly. Last year's bloom was the size of a dinner plate. Yep, you're no trouble, are you? Unlike Mum. Yeah, I know. I know, I'll call her. But she's always so scared of everything all the time. She fusses and she's opinionated. I'm not sure it helps. I feel her views weighing on me like a slab, one stacked on top of the other, even if she doesn't say them. It's like I can sense her thinking. Thinking, this is a bad idea. Elliot just handles this so much better than I do. A great pacifist. Okay. God, this is the thing. I've bought so many plants, there is now tons of watering to do. Oh, do you like my new plant, mister? Brass, no less, to match my till. It's like a jungle in here. No, a forest. Oh, look, the town is waking up. Look, the shops are getting ready to open. People are going past after work or school. Oh, God, there's that grocer. I decided to name him Mr. Veg. It seems appropriate. Mr. Veg's shop is across the road, almost opposite to mine, and if he's filling up the baskets of fruit outside under the awning, he can see directly across the road and into my shop. Mr. Veg always tries to catch my eye, and he's always shouts something across the road over to me, some greeting or whatever. I suppose he's just being friendly, but it's every day. He always wants to chat and his hands are in this constant state of motion, either way, waving or gesturing or beckoning. Doesn't he have some vegetables to sell? Oh. There's that new coffee shop. Their huge glossy sign looks very smart. I can just about see the hipster place down the road that sells that nice brie panini Elliot bought both of us, though. If only you could try some. Not exactly a plant's diet, though, is it, Dad? I wonder if the old cafe is annoyed by that new place. I wonder what it's like inside.
Alice stares out of the shop window, falling into a kind of reverie where she sleep-sees. She sleep-sees off months of disquiet. She sleep-sees off her journey here. Her mother's infuriating cosseting, her brother's furtive looks, too empathetic to bear. Alice sleep-sees off the hours spent online sourcing plants, paint, products, all the endless minutiae of goods and services required to make a shop ready. She sleep-sees off the deliveries, the painting, and the builder's endless questions she is required to respond to. She sleep-sees off the chalkboards, as they are put out, the menus written out in a looping hand, the dust settling at the edges. Alice sleep-sees the single flowers as they are placed in stem vases on cafe tables, the shop signs as they are turned from open to closed, the croissants kneaded and proved and placed in the oven, the fruit and vegetables as they are delivered, the charity shop assistant as she takes a navy dress off the mannequin in their window, the newsagent as he places a newspaper stand out on the pavement. She sleep-sees as the croissants are taken from the oven, eaten by hungry customers, and the dishes washed by the poorly paid youngster in the back kitchen. She sleep-sees as the blueberry muffins are warmed, lunch menus laid out, newspapers bought, sold, and read on the park bench. She sleep-sees as strangers walk past, deep in conversation or thought, or talking too loudly on mobile phones. She sleep-sees as a navy dress is exchanged for a long, flowery maxi, which is then bought and sold and taken down and replaced again. She sleep-sees as a newsagent has his cigarette break and the kitchen hand sends an illicit text and the baker has a sit-down on the doorstep. When Alice comes to, the sun is higher in the sky. the brass spray mister still in her hand, and I feel a profound, indescribable sadness.
I must keep busy. Hanging baskets. I need to do the hanging baskets. Okay. Soil, wicker baskets. The plants might help. You might like these, Dad. I've got Begonia X, Tuba Hybrida, Fuchsias, Petunias, Bacoba, Lobelia, Devil's Ivy. I just want it to all look like it's bounteous, you know? Spilling over, abundant. I want people to not quite be sure what to expect, but be curious enough that they come in, you know? There. Right, some water. Right. I just need to be hung. Crap. Well, that might be a problem.
Come on, Alice. You can do this.
Come on, Alice. You can do this. Where did I put the stepladder? Okay. Right. That's one up. Ugh, smells phenomenal. That's the other.
You
I did it. Dad, I did it. They look amazing. So welcoming and... Oh, Mr. Veg is waving. Hi. Good, thanks. Getting there. Almost ready. No, I'm okay. I'm okay, but thanks, though. One, two, three, four.
Alice comes over to my place on the counter. Her breathing is laboured, her hands clammy as she touches my leaves. She whispers numbers, a count, a beat, as she unnecessarily moves me half a centimetre to the left. She shakes a little. The plants lean towards her. They sense her discomfort, or mine. I can't be sure which. Her breath starts to calm, as if she has returned from a long and painful run, but she has nowhere to run to. She is all run out. Her touch, as she turns me a quarter of a centimetre to the right, is careful and considered, and most vitally focused. She is warmed by the sun filtering through, and the nature that surrounds her folds her in like the kind embrace of a parent to an injured child.
Got very good at making lunches, Dad. And today's was a cracker. I had linguine with bacon, peaches and gorgonzola. I kid you not. I did this cooking class online and I've got quite good. I mean, I'm not a natural, but, you know, it's nice. I use the herbs I have on the kitchen window. I'm obsessed with basil. Obsessed. I never had the time to cook before, you know, when I was working at the university. Not properly. A bowl of pasta. Maybe with some grated cheese if I was lucky. Right. What now? What can I do now? Time is moving so slowly today. I think I could readjust the window display. Something is missing. I want it to feel like an Aladdin's cave, not your usual plant and flower shop. I have some huge big tropicals in there, but I need them up a bit. Maybe some wood from the back, or, I don't know, some bricks or something. Not gotten very far with the plant stand, have I? Oh, and I need to put up the fairy lights. Here they are. I put these hooks up yesterday, but... I wanted to give myself the time to arrange them properly, not when I'm tired. Yeah, I think that looks all right. Is it bloody well twisted? I wish you could tell me what it looks like. Oh, my God. What the...
Alice!
No. Oh, God. I can't.
Alice, breathe. Stay here. Stay in the room. You're okay.
Fear. Pain. Guilt. Sweat. Sweat everywhere. Sudden. Underarms. Forearms. Hair. Backs of knees. Backs of arms. In places I never think of. Neck. Drenched. Instant and sudden, but absolutely soaked through. Skin. Cold. Tepid. Nausea rising, irrepressible bile burns as it crawls up, pushing down. Pain in my leg, aching like before, sliced through. Shit, help, no, not the shakes. Uncontrollable shaking like my body hates me, betrays me, is ferocious with me for something. It's angry I've done this to it. My body is betraying me, it's terrible betrayal. Gulps of air. The world no longer safe. Bad things can and do happen. Don't dwell. They say don't dwell on the past. What do you do when the past dwells on you?
Breathe.
Breathe, Alice.
It was just a car exhaust.
It was just a car exhaust, Alice.
You're fine.
I'm fine. I am. Bloody hell. Bloody cars. Come on. Get up off this floor. Do something useful. Oh, God. It's Mrs. Giddens from the news agents next door at the window. Yes, I'm fine. Thanks. Yeah, I just fell off the stool. She's just checking in on me. The window display. Oh, glad you like it. She's got her thumbs up. She says she'll pop in later. I need a cup of tea. Late afternoon break, Dad. Tea and a biscuit. What is tea without a biscuit, eh?
I can see Alice's limp has been aggravated by the fall as she passes. She tries to conceal it, packing it away from view, as she does with so much else.
Got bourbons, your favourite. You'll be pleased to know that despite this morning's scare, I've opened the door a little to let the air in. Although, I've made sure the sign says closed. I don't want customers coming in before I'm ready. Actually, I'd better turn the lights off or they'll think I'm open. It's getting a little darker now. I've been listening to people walk past. It's ever so entertaining. People are so interesting, a bit like plants, and incredibly funny, which is not like plants. I love to listen to them. People, not plants, obviously. There were these two teenagers a few minutes ago, and they were in St. Mark's uniform. One looked a bit like Sarah. She had dyed red hair and everything.
I wonder where Sarah is now. You were such good friends.
They were talking about watching Romeo and Juliet at school, the Baz Luhrmann one, and they were saying, oh, my God, that Leonardo DiCaprio is so hot. I mean, he's just so hot. Yeah, he is fine. Definitely. Oi, Lisa thinks Eddie looks a bit like him. What do you think? No, he wishes. Lisa wishes more like. And then they burst into giggles. They leant against the window. I thought I'd hate it. The disrespect to the shop front, the invasion. But surprisingly, I was okay with it. I can't can't believe Leo is still a thing after all this time. God, I loved him. I had the poster, the soundtrack. Do you remember?
You always liked books, watching films, documentaries. Science, English, academic or not, it didn't matter. You just loved learning.
Last week, when the builders were having a break and the door was wide open, these two people, they had the strangest conversation. I was behind the counter. They couldn't really see me, or chose not to, I suppose. And, well, I couldn't work them out. They were friends, I think. The man was American, which I found surprising. I mean, what would an American be doing here? She sounded posh, but I couldn't see her face. She had some large bohemian-type sun hat on and, you know, well, I was trying not to look. But he was banging on about there being terrible Wi-Fi here and how they should go and get more to drink. He was older, greying, tall with a full beard and a T-shirt of a band I'd never heard of and kind of khaki chino shorts. They were sipping out of two of those mini champagne bottles. It was all a bit odd. And then she says something to him. A truck went past and I couldn't quite catch what he said back, but then he raised his voice, like quite loudly. It made me jump and said, "Why don't you tell her that then?" And then she said, "I have. I got her number. I phoned her up and told her exactly what he's like and what he's done to me." And then he replied, "Good. Well, that's good." Then they carried on sipping their champagne in the street. And he suddenly shouted, full on shouted, in a way I did not take to at all. "I can't believe you. I can't believe you've done this." And with an unbelievable amount of pent-up anger that was almost animalistic, he left in this burst of energy. And then she turned around and looked at me right in the eye. She was about my age and just smiled, looked up at the sun, and walked away.
"Plants listen, just like you do. We like to hear people talk. It is calming, soothing. It doesn't really matter what they say, good or bad."
"It was the strangest thing.
People used to like to talk to you, Alice. You are kind, patient, a good listener. You are the same in the way you care for the plants here."
"I've thought about it a few times since."
"You take your time with them. Remember how you were before."
"How words can be weapons and words can be safe havens."
"Connection.
Words can be weapons and safe havens."
"It's about bringing the outside in, Alice."
"I like listening to them go by. I smell their freshly baked croissants, bitter coffees through the gap in the door. Later, their fried crisps, the sugary smell of sticky, sweet ice creams. I watch them living their lives. Two old ladies slowly pace up the hill past my door, chatting, pointing, marking the changes of time. Children laughing, parents guiding, business people rushing, teenagers loafing."
"Nature, people, all of it."
"Dad, there is a man. He is running. His black leather jacket, it just flapped against the window pane. He's running now, right now, with unexpected speed. Why? Where is he going? Where is he going in such a rush, Dad?"
"It's nothing, Alice."
"Do you hear that? A bus hisses. That means it's changing gear. Why is it stopped? A door slams. A child yells. A beep. I can hear a sound. A word? A phrase I don't like the sound of. What if something has begun?"
"Focus, Alice."
"What if these buildings are destroyed? This town is destroyed."
"Stay with us, Alice."
"The cafes and the charity shops, the restaurants, the cars, a parked metallic rainbow that will involuntarily slide down the hill, pushed away from the blast."
"Our leaves curl."
"Bakery and the grocers are set on fire. The second-hand bookshop bursts, sending splinters of glass shards spraying into unassuming people and terrified little children. The overwhelming sound of metal on metal, gut-wrenching screams, the ground shaking with the pounding of running."
"Our leaves curl. and shudder.
The road yanks apart to reveal a retching stench of tar. Its cavernous black innards open for all to see. The lampposts bend in on themselves with a dulled cry. Window pane after window pane concaves and bends, held in limbo for a split second, then shatters. Dust billows, its dry metallic taste inhaled. In slow motion, everyone runs in mismatched directions from an epicenter of disaster, and I alone am left. If I call your mobile, I only will get your answering message, because it is only me sitting here talking to you, talking to the remains of you, while this town is obliterated. Because it could happen. It could happen, Dad. Things like this can and do happen. We are not safe. I am not safe. And there it is, that sickening, swooping sensation like a roller coaster I should never have agreed to go on. The world tips. The light falls on a slant. The horror at the terrible fast fleetingness of nausea and the impossible swiftness of the sweat at every single part of my skin. The smell of cold fear reeks. The thud as I fall to all fours. I scramble, ridiculous, for air. I try and call for help, but my body again betrays me. My voice a hollowed out husk, weak, disembodied sound, untethered as if it is someone else's voice that rasps someone else's life I am living. The unanswerable silence echoes in my ear, resonates off the shop walls. The guilt that I am not leaving the past behind me. Jaw, shoulders, knees, eyes ache, brain turns over, fingers and toes, pins and needles, mind hyper alert, awake, startled, body low down, crashing against glass, angry, flings me, convulses, and I am powerless. My breath comes in gulps. I may die here. I call out again. Wisps of sound lost in the air. And I again greeted with silence. How irrelevant I am. I manage to grasp at one. Inhale. Exhale. The light at an angle hits my face. The world is on its side.
Breathe.
Another inhale. Don't dwell on the past. Exhale. What to do when you... When the past kicks the door in and grasps you by the throat.
Breathe, Alice.
The plants need feeding. Heartbeat averages out. The shop needs to be ready. The world angles back. Distraction. Distraction. This morning, the blue hour, the shop, the plants, the opening. I need to focus or I'll break.
Her breathing is leveling out.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I can sit up, I think.
She lies slumped against the back of the counter.
Christ! Who was I before? Before this? What did I like before, Dad? Before I was this?
Alice before loved nature, plants, people.
If I can get back to that. It's okay, Dad. I'm standing now. I look through the window and I can see the light. It's changed, shifted. It's the golden hour, just before the sun starts setting, where the last of the light paints everything in its dark, metallic hue.
She's shaking, but she is standing. The plants are leaning forward. They sense a shift in the atmosphere. I just need you to focus, Alice. If only you could hear me.
I can do this. If I go back to the plants, what I loved then, I won't let it consume me now.
You need to talk to someone, Alice. You need to tell your story.
I can make this work. I can.
It's the woman from the window.
Hello?
It's a start.
Before Alice, written and directed by Stacey Bates. The role of Alice was played by Charlotte Barnes. The role of Cactus was played by Gregory Cox. Before Alice is an Artful Scribe production. Sound designed, mixed, mastered and recorded by Antosh Wojcik. The audio play was commissioned and produced with support from Arts Council England and Mayflower Studios. Artful Scribe is a writer development agency supporting writers and writing in the Solent region. To find out more, visit the website artfulscribe.co.uk.